The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. Amen, I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or the smallest part of a letter will pass from the law until all things have taken place. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do so will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever obeys and teaches these commandments will be called greatest in the kingdom of heaven." The Gospel of the Lord. I think the passage given my proclamation and quick kind of self-reflection is probably pretty easy to misunderstand because it says heaven a couple times. It really kind of throws us off. If we were tracking it at all, okay? So if we could really kind of follow what Jesus was saying at all, I think it's a bit confusing, actually. I think at least for us in our context, it's a bit confusing. He's talking about heaven and earth passing away. There are things that don't hold together in our scheme of holding things together. So when Jesus says heaven and earth will pass away, what do you think then? I thought maybe earth would pass away. We'd just be disembodied spirits, you know, circling around, you know, God as the orb or whatever in that Platonic paradise. But this is not actually what Christianity is about at all. And here Jesus said heaven also is passing away. So what is going on there? And then he comes back. I know, I'm trying to look for that. I can see a bit of confusion. Yeah, this is probably a good sign. I think some of it is good, some of it's clearly not. And then we see, you know, as he comes back, he says, we'll be called least in the kingdom of heaven, we'll be called greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So let me just talk about heaven and earth a little bit, right, is to say this. Again, well, let's do it through man because I do this so often. It's much easier, I think, at this point to grasp, is that man has a particular place in God's creation, right? He's the intermediary between heaven and earth, right? He's the hinge or the vehicle between heaven and earth. He brings earth to heaven. He brings heaven to earth. That's God's plan for man, okay? So you need both heaven and earth in order to have a creature that holds the two together. So the idea that heaven and earth are passing away, well, yeah, they are passing away because the old order of things is passing away. God's good creation fallen into disfigurement, not disrepair, but disfigurement because of the forces of sin and death, because of man's idolatry, and the injustice that he reaps when he worships something other than the true and living God, that order of affairs is passing away. Why is it passing away? It's because in Jesus, a new creation is beginning, and for us is begun. We're living into it now. New creation in him is beginning. And St. Peter will say, well, we await a new heavens and a new earth. Because why? We are embodied spirits, right? We're enfleshed spirits, which means that we human beings have to be body and soul. Yeah. So we're not awaiting a new order of reality that would have us disembodied, and now we're freed from the body to do this spiritual thing. And what? No, this is not the point at all. That's Plato, right? That's not Jesus. Jesus is holding on to the good of God's creation and man's place in God's plan. So man, again, as the vehicle, as the hinge and the one who holds together heaven and earth. And he does it again, and this is the royal priesthood. And this, you might say, oh, he's always spinning off about the royal priesthood, okay? Yeah, that's right. I am always spinning off about the royal priesthood, okay? If you want to, if you take an issue, we'll take it outside, okay? We'll deal with it later, okay? We'll have a big brawl on the royal priesthood. I'd love to do that. This is, when we look in the book of Deuteronomy, which we, with the first reading we had, this is what we're seeing, that God is making a royal priesthood. He's making a kingdom of priests. That's the whole point of Israel. The whole point of Israel is that they are a kingdom of priests. So they are priests and kings. They're made to offer earth to heaven. That's priestly action, right? To bring the stuff of heaven and offer it and turn it over to God. We do that because we're empowered by Jesus to do that. We do it in prayer, in praise, in worship of God, right? We're turning the stuff of earth over to heaven. And even if it's just my heart, but really it's everything I am and everything I have, I'm turning over to God in prayer, in praise, right? In thankful praise of him, okay? And then we're doing the kingship stuff because we are, each and every one of us is a ruler over his own domain, okay? His own domain, I mean, in the sense that we're stewards, so everything is God's domain, but your corner of creation is your corner of creation. It's nobody else's corner of creation. And there, you are a ruler. The question is, right, what is the power that you're going to draw on in order to rule well and wisely over your corner of creation? And the point of Christianity, the point of Israel, and then the new Israel movement that is Jesus' own body, the church, is that we are empowered by God's own life of love. We have his spirit at work in us and working through us. Yeah, I know. I always get much more excited than anybody else about this. Okay, but Tim is pretty excited. He holds it back in a certain way. But I appreciate. I know his look at this point. John as well. Everyone in his own way. Right. We're all excited about it. God's Spirit is at work in us and working through us. This is amazing. This is absolutely amazing. So that we can be animated to be the people that we're being called to be, which is to be his royal priesthood, to be his kingdom of priests, to be right the people, okay, who are bringing earth to heaven and heaven to earth. We're the hinge of God's entire creation, and in fact the pinnacle of his creation, because we're made in his image and likeness. Yeah, and this is then really the driving point of what Jesus is doing when he's on the scene here at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. We're in the fifth chapter of Matthew's Gospel. The beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, he's saying, no, okay, what I'm doing, yes, it's radically revolutionary. It's also the most traditional thing that you're ever going to find, because it's a recapturing of the law and the prophets. Do not think that I've come to abolish the law of the prophets. I've come not to abolish, but to fulfill. Right? And then we can look and we remember when Jesus talks about, when he's questioned on, say, the greatest commandment, right? What is the greatest commandment in the law? And he says, you shall love the Lord your God with your whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. Your neighbor is yourself. This is the law and the prophets, right? Other comments say every other piece of the law is simply a footnote to that reality. Yeah, so of course, yeah, this is radically, what's the radical revolution? Okay, well, the first thing is, I said, what the traditional thing is. Yeah, Jesus is holding, this is Israel. This is Jesus' call to Israel to be Israel at last. Okay, so to live into God's dream for his people. And for them, really, to live as the answer to the world's woes. Right? The world is fallen into sin. People are given over to idolatry. Injustice reigns. Right, Israel is called to be a people peculiarly God's own, right? And we see here, you know, not because they're a great nation, a wise and intelligent people. They're seen to be that. Israel is seen to be that by giving themselves over to heartfelt worship of God, heartfelt commitment to keeping the covenant, keeping the law, right? So it's on the level of heart there. And the scribes and the Pharisees have their own agenda here, and Jesus will go on right away to say, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. But what he means is that in him, the reign of God is breaking in. Okay? So this is the kingdom in Matthew's gospel, the kingdom of heaven, because for his Jewish audience, he really doesn't want to be saying the kingdom of God, just because of the way that they treat the sacred name, right? But it is God's rule that Jesus is ushering in. And it was, say, foreshadowed in the law and the prophets. It was pointed to by the law and the prophets. But now he is on the scene as the fulfillment of the thing, which means that he's able to usher people into that reality, the kingdom of God. So he's bringing God's rule to bear. And in those people who have submitted themselves to Jesus, he then enables to become the force in God's world that they were always intended to be. And the way that that happens is, of course, they pick up the pattern of Jesus' own life, which is the pattern of prayer and of love. Yeah, it's the pattern of, say, total God-centeredness in praise, in worship, so as to say, God is our number one and absolute priority. Yeah, and our entire existence is built on that fact. And then we recognize, of course, that God is an eternal exchange of glorifying love, and that everything that exists exists as a result of God's loving it into existence. But he is at the very center of our hearts and lives, and our lives center on him. And then as a result of our lives centering on him, we become more and more images, right, reflections of his goodness, of his mercy, of his power. Of his power, as I look to the cross here, right? Today, by the way, we hit Lent's midway point. Yeah, so here in the second half, we should be looking more and more towards the cross. That's what the Lenten season has given us, the whole season is given to us as an opportunity to reflect on the cross and its power, because this is the revelation of the power of God. Yeah, then we also have to be animated and sustained by that power. Don't do it in the passive voice. Jesus breathing his spirit into us animates us to live in the power of and live out of the power of his own life of love, God's own life of love. So then we are sustained by that force to be, again, what Israel was intended to be, the answer to the world's woes. Okay, so we then are given, we have to be given over to the test today. And this is it. He is fulfilling the law. He is fulfilling the law. He's driving it through to fulfillment. And it's ours to trust and follow him on the way, right? Observing all that he commands us. But especially, can I say, we have to be able to focus, and our minds, my mind is not able to do it, which is why I offer, you know, these little slogans, especially in the way of prayer and love. Right, so as we make our way through the season that's given to us to grow, to have us grow, to be inflamed in our love, our devotion for God, our love, our commitment for our neighbor, and growing into then a sense of what love of self really means, right, we're dedicated to all the ways that Jesus is giving us to follow him. So we're committed totally to these lives of great and costly love that he's called to. And no matter what comes our way, we're empowered by the Spirit to be about the work of love exactly where we are. And so we give ourselves over to God in prayer and love today, knowing that he's growing us in love all the while so that we can be part of this ushering in of the kingdom of God.